21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for award-winning 21st Century Radio. Here's your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Abracadabra. Make Professor Paul H. Stratner appear at your next event. As a professed artist of legerdemain, he will amaze, amuse, and astound you and your guests with his magical entertainment and subtle humor. For more information, visit his website at www.professortratner.com or call the magic number 410-664-6240. That's 410-664-6240. Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. I'm the alleged Dr. Bob Hieronymus, a lowly PhD hanging out in this part of the universe, and sometimes we know we are, and other times we kind of guess. Yeah. Our executive producer, research assistant, Laura Cordner, our engineer. Who is our engineer, Laura Cordner? Just tell us. Is it Jake Bryant? Is Jake Bryant still there? He's still there. Way to go, Jake. Glad to hear it. And yes, indeed, we are finished with doing all our specials on the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, the National Geographic Channel, and you'll be seeing them in the spring and the fall and all that other stuff. But next week, we finish up with the Canadian Broadcasting Company. We've already done our stuff in Germany. And finally, we will be free for 2 days. 2 days. Yes, indeed. Well, okay. Now, sit up straight. Are you guys sitting up straight out there? Eyes straight ahead, feet flat on the floor. Man, you are still allowed to chew gum. We allow that. Yes, we do. Well, there is a proven health program that promises to keep people young, vital, healthy, and looking years younger than their biological age. Now, this same program is called the Baseline of Health, and it helps prevent and cure cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. It is based on the experiences of, quote, miracle doctors, end quote. Holistic healers, herbalists, renegade medical doctors throughout the world who have helped people regain and strengthen their health and well-being. Yes, you know all about those kind of things because my wife, Zahara Hieronymus, founded the largest holistic health care facility here on the East Coast. And even Paul McCartney thought it was so great he awarded her a prize. And she well deserves it. Yes, Ruscom. Now, okay, who are we going to be talking to? John Barron. And let me read this book review by the Midwest. The Midwest Book Review. Lessons from the Miracle Doctors is a no-nonsense guide that anyone can follow to optimize their diet, nutrition, exercise, and life habits for improved well-being, especially when confronted with the specter of severe health threats. Extensively researched and easy to follow, Lessons from the Miracle Doctors is enthusiastically recommended for its sound advice. And I agree with that. John Barron has been a pioneer in the study of nutrition, disease prevention, and anti-aging for the last 40 years. He is editor and publisher of the Baseline of Health newsletter and Barron Report, which are both read by thousands of doctors, health experts, and nutrition consumers in more than 140 countries. So I guess he can speak 140 different languages. Hot dog! Well, I never got to that left side of my brain that quickly. Now, he is founder and director of the Baseline of Health Foundation and is recognized as one of the world's leading formulators of nutritional products. His popular award-winning health information website, www.johnbarron. Now, listen how we spell John Barron. JohnBarron.org. Got it? JohnBarron.org. And it receives thousands of visitors per day. Welcome to 21st Century Radio, John.
Well, hello there.
How's your pitching arm today, John? Is it all right?
It's supposed to be a pass throwing arm, isn't it?
Well, yeah, well, that's good enough. But we're limbering up here. We're getting ready in Baltimore. Great book, John. Great book. Congratulations.
Well, thank
you.
You
have just won a Nobel Prize. Or else you probably should. This is really a remarkable piece of work. And of course, your first one came out was 1999, and you've updated it in many different ways. Is that correct, John?
That's correct. Yeah, we actually doubled the size. Updated it, added chapters, because one of the things at the foundation, we actually average about 10,000 emails a month, so we sort of know what people are interested in.
How can you
even
look?
And we added chapters devoted to those topics.
I was going to say, how can you even look at 10,000 emails a month? I can't stand 1,500 a week. Really? Your life.
I sort of run like, I hate to say it, like the old medical doctors with triage, where I have staff that sorts through it, and then they filter out the ones that they can't answer that go to me.
So that's how it works. Well, I also there are so many important things in this book. I'm sorry we only have an hour, but let's get right to it. In regards to what we have paid for health care, what is the value that we have received?
Oh, from the health care. look, let's be clear about something. Like a lot of people, or actually I should say unlike a lot of people in alternative health, I'm not anti-doctor. There are times that you can't replace a doctor. For example, if your name is John Wayne Bobbitt, you wanted a surgeon after your wife adjusted you, not an herbalist. And for those who don't remember John Wayne, you can say car accident. After a car accident, you want a surgeon, not an herbalist. But when it comes to the illnesses, the catastrophic illnesses that most people are afraid of, things such as heart disease, cancer, diabetes, the track record of modern medicine is not very good at all. On the watch of modern medicine, diabetes has gone it's actually almost epidemic. They've had to rename, they used to call it adult onset diabetes, but now so many children are getting it, they just call it type 2. Cancer, the incidence of cancer, and most people are not aware of this, has gone up about 1,700% in the last 50 years. So the track record of medicine and taking care of catastrophic illness is not very good. And we pay an outrageous amount. We're now approaching $2 trillion a year here in the U.S. And we actually rank near the bottom of the civilized world in terms of a lot of illnesses, such as cancer and diabetes. And if you actually pull out stats for infant mortality, and not that they're not important, but it's significant. If you take those out and you deal just with adults, we actually rank below countries that you wouldn't expect, like Cuba.
Well, these facts are surprising indeed, but it even gets a little worse than that. But thank heavens, we have the solution here, which is your book, which we'll get to. But I've got to ask a couple of these other tough questions because we have a lot of listeners from Johns Hopkins Hospital and Johns Hopkins University. And I think that they're going to love what you have to say later on, especially. Now, what is the most shocking fact of all in regards to the medications we turn to for protecting our health?
Well, one of the things I think that's the biggest surprise, if you actually think about it, medicine really doesn't deal with a cause of illness. They just deal with symptoms. They manage symptoms. In fact, I heard this is actually a great description. Someone described to me modern medicine as now just a series of numbers. And if you think about this, you go to your doctor and you pay for a series of very expensive tests. And you come back, and your doctor will present you with a piece of paper, and on it are a list of numbers. And usually there'll be something, let's say, like cholesterol. And it has a low number, a high number, and then your number. And if it's in color, your number, if it falls outside that range of low to high, it'll be in red, and then your doctor will prescribe you a medication, not to fix the situation, not to fix what caused your cholesterol, let's say, to go outside the range, but merely to force the number back into an acceptable range. So you have a lot of people who go around saying, oh, yeah, my health is perfect, blood pressure is great, blood sugar is great, and what they mean is they're actually taking medication to force their numbers back into line, but they haven't taken care of the cause. And that's actually, when you get down to it, the biggest problem with medicine today dealing with illness is it doesn't deal with the cause. Another way to look at it, my favorite, is cancer, where chemotherapy is used frequently. If you were to believe what modern medicine is prescribing, when they basically give you chemotherapy for cancer, you would actually have to think that a doctor believes, and of course not one does, that you get cancer because you're suffering from a chemotherapy deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand the concept there.
Well, yeah.
But in fact, that's not what's happening. They're not dealing with what causes the cancer. They never do. They're just trying to get rid of the symptom or that particular manifestation, which is why cancer comes back so frequently. Because all you're doing is getting rid of that one isolated occurrence, and it's not just a question of metastasis. You haven't got rid of, for example, if you lived in Love's Canal or in Aaron Brockovich country and you're exposed to toxins in your water. Medicine doesn't really care about that. You'll just go to the doctor and they'll give you chemotherapy, radiation, surgery to get rid of that incident. So you go back home and no one has dealt with the cause, and that cause in something like cancer is usually diet and environment related. And if you don't deal with that, you're going to get it again and again.
Well, you also note that it is not a coincidence that time after time, when doctors go on strike, mortality rates drop dramatically in those cities or countries, and then you give many examples. That's shocking as well. But one last question along these lines, and then I really want to get to your important work. Who are the three biggest players in keeping our current system in place and also ruthlessly suppressing any dissenting voices?
Let me qualify that, and then I'll name them. One is, well, let's start. One, obviously, are government agencies, and I use that broadly in different countries because it's not just the FDA. There are equivalents in every country. And what you have is a typical bell curve. You'll have at the bottom end of the curve, you'll have people who are just incompetent, really shouldn't be doing what they're doing. You have the vast majority who are trying to do a good job within the parameters they're given. And at the top, you'll actually have some really bright people who are groundbreaking, who try and resist the system. But the bottom line is they can't. Government agencies are designed not really to promote health, but to promote their own bureaucracy. That's just the nature of bureaucracies. So you have government agencies, and you repeatedly see examples of it. The FDA is almost a revolving door with the pharmaceutical industry and the medical industry. It's the people who run it are former executives or future executives of the pharmaceutical industry or medical doctors. The people who approve drugs are medical doctors, often doctors who are either on the payroll or own interest in the companies that are making the drugs that they're evaluating. So you can't have a level playing field. So you have the government agencies, one. I mentioned pharmaceutical companies going off a profit motive, and their objective is to suppress anything that doesn't fit within that model because alternative methods can't be patented, and they would undercut pharmaceutical sales.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the studies that trash alternative health are funded by pharmaceutical companies. Those are the two main players, and then, of course, doctors themselves. And a lot of people view it with doctors as being driven by money and conspiracy, and I don't think so. I think, actually, the main driving force for doctors is ego.
Yeah, I agree
with you. The problem they have is you've got to understand, if you're a medical doctor in the U.S., you come out, you've spent several hundred thousand dollars, you're in debt up to your eyeballs. You have a belief system that's been drilled into you that you are the best trained, best equipped health practitioner in the history of the entire world. In your paradigm, any breakthrough has to come from those in your community. It's impossible to believe that a grandmother in Kentucky working with herbs knows something that you don't, which is why it is impossible for them to deal effectively with alternative health. It's outside the paradigm. So those really are the three large entities that have an interest in keeping the system going as it is and not allowing alternative ways of thinking in, and that's government agencies, the pharmaceutical industry, and the medical community.
And, of course, as you mentioned, the revolving door between the FDA and the various pharmaceutical companies and who they employ and what they do. Now we get to the good stuff, because it's it's important for our listeners to really realize, because a lot of folks now have been questioning for decades about their concerns here, and I'm just so impressed by your work. Let's get to that. And of course, we're going to need a break soon, but we'll start with this guy here. What is the basic premise of Lessons from the Miracle Doctors, and why did you write this book?
If I were to summarize, it's 400 pages. If I were to take it down to its essence, there are three points that if people walk away with and truly understand, they've got 90% of it. Everything else is just, as they say, is just the details. And the first one is that what you do matters. That what you eat matters. The decisions you make matter. Every 7 years, you essentially replace every cell in your body. And the different subsystems you do even faster, like every 120 days, you have an entirely new blood supply. You basically eliminated every blood cell you have has been removed from the body and been replaced by a new one. And the simple, absolutely core basic fact is that you cannot build the same quality blood cells from pepperoni, pizza, beer, and ding-dongs
what?
That you can out of real food.
Oh, really? You mean you just threw out my breakfast there.
Yeah, dude, I used to say it takes a long time to make changes, but in fact, for anyone who's seen Morgan Sperling's film, Supersize Me, it took only about 2 weeks of eating fast food every day before the doctors who were monitoring him were begging him to get off the program because they were worried he would die before the 30 days were up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it can be fairly quick, but the bottom line is you can look at the blood cells of people who have bad diets under a microscope, and they don't look healthy. They're misshapen. They're smaller. The white cells, the immune cells going around in the blood supply, are smaller and less active. You put people on good food, and the blood cells get bigger, transport more oxygen, don't clump together. So what you do matters. That's principle number one. Two is doctors, and we've already actually talked about this. I'm not dismissive of doctors. I believe most of them mean well. They follow the same bell curve. Most of them mean well, are trying hard, and are often even heroic, but they're functioning under a paradigm that limits what they can do. Great in trauma, not so great when it comes to the catastrophic illness, diabetes, cancer, heart disease, the things that most people are worried about today. And then three, and this also is part of the medical paradigm, is that everybody's looking for magic bullets. And health doesn't work on magic bullets. You don't just, I mean, I'll do this talk and talk about, you know, you have to do everything and all the things you have to do. People say, great talk, don't ever explain that. What pill should I take?
Right,
everybody
yeah.
wants the magic bullet. Doesn't work like that. In the same way that, you know, eating a single fast food meal won't kill you, eating a single salad doesn't make you well. It's what you do day in, day out, over time, eating good foods, taking the right supplements, you can literally rebuild everything from your immune system, slow down aging, remove toxins from the body, and we can spend the rest of our time talking about what those things are. But there are no magic bullets. You have to take back control of your health. You have to stop giving it away and assume that medical doctors are just going to give you a pill and make it all well. A pill that forces your blood sugar back into place is not the same as having a body that doesn't have a blood sugar problem to begin with.
Well, thank you, John. Now we're going to take our first break. And when we return, we're going to get more into the baseline of health. Our guest is John Barron, B-A-R-R-O-N, Lessons from the Miracle Doctors, a step-by-step guide to optimum health and relief from catastrophic illness. And really, I want to underline that, catastrophic illness. Basic Health Books, 1-800-575-8890. John Barron, that's JONBARRON.org. The Baseline of Health Foundation provides free information on natural health alternatives. Researchers at Johns Hopkins are seeking volunteers with a current or past diagnosis of cancer who have anxiety or sadness about their cancer. Volunteers are needed to participate in a scientific study of self-exploration and personal meaning brought about by psilocybin, a psychoactive substance found in mushrooms, which has been used for centuries as a sacrament for religious and spiritual purposes. Volunteers enrolled in the study will receive careful preparation and 2 sessions in which they will receive psilocybin in a comfortable, supportive setting. Structured guidance will be provided during the session and afterwards to facilitate integration of the experiences. The study complies with FDA regulations. Volunteer must be between the ages of 21 and 70, have no personal history of severe psychiatric illness or recent history of alcoholism or drug abuse. To volunteer or more information, please call 410-550-5990 or visit cancer-insight.org. Confidentiality will be maintained for all applicants and participants. That's 410-550-5990 or www.cancer-insight.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Bernie Siegel, author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles, and recently a book on parenting, Love, Magic, and Mud Pies. And you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Bob Hieronymus.
Well, there's Uncle Bernie. He's got a new book out. We'll take a look at it in about a month or two because we're so backed up around here. And our guest is John Barron. Lessons from the Miracle Doctors, a step-by-step guide to optimum health and relief from catastrophic illness. Basic Health Books, 1-800-575-8890. John Barron, JONBARRON.org. The Baseline of Health Foundation provides free information on natural health alternatives, so go up and check it out and use it, friends. John, you talked about studying under miracle doctors for many years, which gave you the idea of keeping a baseline of health. What are the basic principles for the baseline of health program?
Okay, let's see if I can describe it. It's a lot easier to do it visually, which we do in the book. But let me describe the graph, because that's sort of the core of it.
Okay, I'll hold up the
out of it.
I'll hold up the graph to the microphone. Here. Here we are. Now, well, we got a very advanced
audience.
I was going
to do the same thing, Bob.
Oh, good. Here we go. Go ahead.
Okay, think of a simple XY graph, and the x-axis, the one that runs horizontal, are the systems in your body, and we can think of them like the immune system, the digestive system. Actually, there are well over 1,000 of them because you get down to the different subsystems, such as the ATP energy system, the liver enzyme systems, the blood-brain barrier. All of these affect your health. The y-axis, the one that goes vertical, is the level of health of those systems. The higher up you go on the y-axis, the healthier you are. Now, we can draw a couple of lines across the graph that parallel the x-axis. One at the top of the graph we can call the line of optimum health. Theoretically, if you were perfectly healthy and no one ever achieves this state, that line would run straight across the graph and every system you have would be in an optimum condition. Doesn't happen. We're born with certain weaknesses. We have genetic tendencies. We're exposed to toxins while fetuses. We're exposed as children. All of this affects that health, and we drop somewhere below the optimum. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The next line down, let's say halfway across the graph, is what we call the line of symptoms. As long as your health line stays above that line of symptoms, you don't notice any changes. You may be getting if you will, less well, but you won't notice it. For example, if your arteries are narrowing, you don't notice it until you cross the line of symptoms, and you may have shortness of breath or minor pain in the chest. That's when you notice it, and then there's a line further down that you really don't want to touch, is if any critical system crosses it, we call it the line of death. You'll die. It doesn't matter whether you're a Superman and all your other systems. If a critical system crosses, you die. Now, it gets interesting because it tells us we don't know all the different things that are happening at any one time. You don't know what magic pill to take. That's one of the reasons magic pills don't work. You can have vague, you know, sort of hints of where you are, but you don't know. So the core principle of the baseline of health is you do everything to improve your health, and you do it all at once. That's why it's about changing diet. It's about cleansing, removing all toxins from the body, and optimizing nutrition across the board, and taking supplements across the board. And we should talk later about what kinds of supplements or what quality, because most people are taking supplements that don't really do very much. But that's really the core, the baseline of health is, and I would see that in the doctors that I'd work with. People would come in, they'd come in with cancer, they'd come in with MS, and the thing that startled me when I was first working with them is it didn't matter what condition people had, the doctors tended to give them the same program. They put them on detoxes, they put them on nutrition programs, juice fasting, didn't matter. And the amazing thing is these people would improve. Now, did everyone get better at cancer? No, not at all. But you also have to understand that almost every patient they saw was someone who had already gone through medical treatment and been sent home to die. So they were dealing with the worst of the worst. But an amazing number of people who had been sent home to die by the medical community actually turned it around and got better. And even those who didn't, and this is sort of a strange concept, actually died feeling better.
Well, I
think that's very important to understand. They died healthier, died feeling better. You have something like cancer, and you follow the medical route, and it doesn't work. Things like chemotherapy are very debilitating. They make the final months you have absolutely miserable. So actually, you know, optimize your condition. Even if you succumb to the disease, you can actually die feeling much better, if that makes sense.
Well, there are many things within this work that I know for sure I'm going to move on in about a week or so after I finally get all this media stuff out of me. And one of them deals with detoxing. So let's start with detoxing. What's different about your detox program, and how does your book help someone who's interested in detoxing?
Well, detoxing is certainly a hot word right now. Today, I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but I was cruising the TV looking around, and I saw paid programming, detoxing, colon detoxing, colon detoxing. And that's actually sort of the problem, is right now, although the word's hot, it relates almost 90% of the time to colon detoxing.
Mm-hmm.
And is colon detoxing important? Yes, it is. But it's important basically as a first step. It's not the one that really changes your health. It's the one that cleans out the elimination channel. So when you do the other detoxes, the toxins, the heavy metals, the things like that have a way to get out of the body without going back into the blood. So it's not just about colon detoxing. When we talk about detoxing, we're talking about cleaning every major system in the body. Cleaning out the intestinal tract, removing heavy metals from the body, cleaning out the kidneys, cleaning out the sludge in the kidneys, cleaning out the sludge in the pancreas so you don't get pancreatitis, cleaning out the liver. The liver actually, and this is worth talking about too, the topic of cholesterol, the liver is the main organ in the body that controls and regulates the cholesterol, and yet it's the one that suffers the most side effects when you're taking the cholesterol-lowering drugs such as Lipitor. Made side effect is damaging the liver. You need to clean out the gallbladder, and you need to clean out your blood. Effectively detoxing means detoxing every major system in the body. And it starts with colon detoxing, but it doesn't end there. And that's the big difference.
Your book also talks a lot about detoxing heavy metals, and you touched on that. How is that done? How does one detox oneself?
Well, actually, the medical community understands this principle, even though the medical... It's actually, you listen to the medical community, and it's almost schizophrenic because they employ things in alternative health. They employ energy healing. They employ magnetics. They employ elements for moving heavy metals from the body. They do these things at the same time, then they dismiss everything that alternative health does, saying detoxing is nonsense, removing heavy metals is nonsense. But in fact... removing lead, the standard treatment is something called intravenous chelation. And chelation comes from the Greek word clawing, which means you literally grab the metals with a substance, and you're using a substance called EDTA and IV chelation that grabs the heavy metals and removes them. There are other things that will do that, natural substances, such as cilantro which and chlorella. And the combination of cilantro and chlorella will remove most heavy metals from the body. Cilantro literally breaks the electrical bond that metals attach to the tissue of your body. It breaks that bond, and chlorella, it does the same thing it does, and I think a lot of people aren't aware of this. Chlorella is used to remove heavy metals in water treatment plants. Because if you think about it, when they're treating water and they're getting rid of waste, they also have to get rid of heavy metals in it. And the way they do that is they add chlorella to that water, and the chlorella literally bonds to the metal and grabs it. And then when you remove the chlorella, you've effectively removed the heavy metal in your body. The chlorella will then go out through the intestinal tract, through the colon, and haul the heavy metals out. So that combination of cilantro to break the electrical bond and chlorella to then grab that and move it out the body works effectively, or you can use IV chelation. But that's how you remove heavy metals. And the heavy metals you're worried about are everything from mercury, which is everywhere. It's in your seafood. It's coal plants are one of the biggest polluters in terms of mercury. When they burn coal, the mercury goes up into the air, comes down with the rain onto the land, washes into lakes, fish eat it. It's in your drinking water. It's in the fish. And the higher up you go on the fish chain, the more concentrated it gets. And by that, I mean the higher up in the predator chain, the fish that eat other fish like sharks and so on tend to have very high levels of mercury because it accumulates from all the other fish they eat. So we're exposed to it in our cookware. People think stainless steel is very clean. Not necessarily. To make stainless steel, they add chromium and nickel, which are actually very toxic to the body. So we're building up heavy metals everywhere. You can't avoid it. In fact, there was a great report, Bob, out of Canada a couple of years ago called Toxic Nation. And they tested for 88 toxins, including heavy metals. And on average, when they checked children, 10-year-olds, they found on average there were 44 toxins, including heavy metals, in every one of the kits. And they're including something like 41 carcinogens, 27 hormone disruptors, 53 reproductive toxins. Didn't matter what diet these kids were on, whether they were in families that ate organic food or how far they lived away from the sources. They took native kids who lived hundreds of miles away from the sources of pollution, and they all carry high levels of pollution. You can't escape it. So you have to do regular detoxing to remove it. It's in the air. It's in your water. It's in your food.
Well, what we do to the planet, we do to ourselves. That's a really good illustration of that. Now, once you have eliminated all the toxins out of your colon, gallbladder, kidneys, tissues, blood, and liver, then what do you do?
Well, then you need to rebuild the body. I mean, again, removing toxins is one part, but then you have to rebuild afterward. For example, you remove toxins from the colon, you still have to deal with the things, for example, to get healthy tissue, to rebuild the beneficial bacteria. A common problem we have nowadays is a state called dysbiosis, which means that the bacteria are out of balance. Beneficial bacteria literally line every square inch of the intestinal tract from your mouth to your anus. It's one continuous tube. I tell people not to think about that when you're kissing someone.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you told us that.
It's one continuous tube from your mouth to your anus lined with beneficial bacteria. There are over 100 trillion beneficial bacteria that line every square inch in a healthy intestinal tract, over 400 different varieties in the mouth alone. And what happens is, in a healthy person, they're there, you're fine. But think of all the things we do that destroy those bacteria. Anyone drink tap water? Well, what do they put in tap water to keep it healthy? They put chlorine. Why is the chlorine in there? Because it kills bacteria. Well, it kills the good bacteria in your intestinal tract and in your mouth and in your colon just as readily as it kills bad guys in the water. Anyone who's had a round of antibiotics at the hospital has literally, what does antibiotic mean? It's basically it's something that kills bacteria. It wipes out every single one of those in your body, every single beneficial bacteria. If you don't do anything to regenerate them, the bad guys replace them. It's nature abhors a vacuum. Anyone eat commercial dairy, commercial meat, they're loaded with antibiotics. Any animal that's grown in mass farming now is filled with antibiotics for two reasons. One is it makes them bigger. Cows produce more milk, animals get bigger. But there's the other problem when you have the large farms where the animals are stacked, you know, right around each other, if in fact an infection hit one animal, it could spread and wipe out thousands of other animals instantly. So they keep them loaded with antibiotics to prevent the spread of any disease. Well, when you eat those animals or you drink that milk, you're getting it, and it's wiping out beneficial bacteria. So one of the things you have to do is rebuild those bacteria. And we could go on, but we could actually, any one of these questions, we could do an hour on. So I'm just trying to give you an idea.
Well, I think
after you clean stuff out, you got to rebuild the things that have been damaged. Mm-hmm. After you do a liver detox, you need to rebuild liver tissue. Liver tissue is destroyed by so many things we do, eating too much food, eating too much protein, eating too much sugar. All of these damage the liver. Even taking vitamin isolates, every vitamin isolate you take, and we can come back and cover this later, vitamin isolates don't exist in nature. Your body doesn't know what to do with them. They're actually, a vitamin isolate, for the most part, is toxic to your body. And as all toxins, it goes to the liver, and the liver deals with the toxin by doing what's called conjugates it. It adds a protein to it to neutralize it, but that protein also makes that vitamin usable. So every time you take vitamin isolates, you're stressing your liver, damaging your liver, to get that into a form your body can use that's not toxic.
Well, we
so
need
there's so many things that damage the liver. So you do a cleanse and you remove waste and build up cholesterol and fats from the liver. You also have to do things like taking herbs like milk thistle and Picorhiza coryoa from Asia, herbs that help regenerate the tissue. You can also regenerate beta cells in the pancreas.
Okay, well, what we're going to need to do is take a break here, and you're going to have to join us another time, John. There's too many important things here for me to breeze over them. But when we get back, maybe we'll touch on fats and protein, but we got to talk about organic foods. We have to talk about the supplement maze, as you refer to it, Frankenfoods, dairy products. It's a big agenda here. So so we'll be back after we award a copy of your book to one of our listeners. We'll be back with John Barron, Lessons from the Miracle Doctor, as a step-by-step guide to optimum health and relief from catastrophic illness. Basic Health Books, 1-800-575-8890. JohnBarron.org. The Baseline of Health Foundation provides free information on natural health alternatives.
This is Dr. Alan Hamilton, the author of The Scalpel and Soul, and you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus, one of the great programs in my mind that is offering innovation in this century.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio with our guest John Barron. Lessons from the Miracle Doctor is a step-by-step guide to optimum health and relief from catastrophic illness. Basic Health Books, 1-800-575-8890. Oh, well, I'm going to leap ahead here a couple of questions. You wrote an article for Alive magazine about how someone is to, quote, navigate through the supplement maze, end quote, and you detail the problems with most supplements today. Can you explain the problem with pixie dust and ingredient sourcing in most supplements?
Absolutely. That's actually a great question because it indicates a lot of the confusion that people have about alternative health. And also why a lot of the testing that's done comes out badly when you read about things where they're testing vitamin A and they find out that, you know, it doesn't help. It may increase cancer, beta-carotene. Anyway, the issues are, is vitamins come in different forms when you buy them as supplements. They can be either natural, co-natural, or synthetics. And by that, natural is basically food-formed. If you use Acerola cherry, that's the way you're getting vitamin C. It's in the food. It's a natural form of it. Co-natural means it's been extracted from a natural source, but you'll get an isolate. And there's a problem with that, and I'll come back to that in a moment. And synthetics are the worst of all, but they're cheap. A great example is vitamin E. All of the vitamin E, when you've been reading, if you've been seeing the testing where they just basically said vitamin E doesn't help with prostate cancer and so on, they tested the synthetic form. The synthetic form actually doesn't exist in nature. It's a man-made chemical. Now, the amazing thing is you're getting this information from doctors who are telling you that it's the same, it's chemically identical to the natural form, and then so they define it, and then they test it and say it doesn't work. But the fact is, it's not the same. It actually performs differently. It even has a different designation. Natural, take vitamin E, because this vitamin E, we can summarize the whole issue here. Vitamin E is actually a complex. It's not a single thing. It's not D-alpha tocopherol, which is how vitamin E is always listed. It's a complex, and it contains a minimum that we know of at the moment, 8 components, 4 tocopherols, 4 tocotrienols. That's how nature packages things, in complexes, does not package in isolates. The reason that vitamin E was identified as D-alpha tocopherol is early on when they were looking at it, the component that was most prevalent was the alpha tocopherol. So the doctors or the researchers said, well, that must be the most important. That was the logic. Must be the most important. So that's how we'll measure vitamin E. From then on, when you were buying vitamin E, since that's how it was measured, vitamin supplement manufacturers basically would just put D-alpha tocopherol, nothing else in, so they get the highest number they could get, and it looked like, you know, you had 400 units, 600, 800 units, and they could play the number game. Had nothing to do with how those different components perform. That was just sort of a guess made early on. Mm-hmm. The synthetic form actually has a different designation. It's not D-alpha, it's D-L-alpha, because it behaves differently. And the D and the L refer to how it rotates light. This gets abstract, and I'll be very brief here, and you probably have to go back and hear more. When you basically pass light through a molecule, that molecule rotates the light either to the left or the right. In a natural form of a vitamin, it rotates to the right. D stands for dextro, or right rotating, and L stands for levo, or left rotating. So when you pass light through a natural form of that component of vitamin E, alpha tocopherol, the natural form, it'll rotate light to the right. When you pass it through the synthetic, it rotates to the left. That should be an indication they're not the same. Any reasonable person would say they're not the same. Doctors say they're the same. They're not. And in fact, we know that at best, the synthetic form is only about 30% as effective as the natural form, and in some cases probably has negative results. So that's the first problem, synthetic, co-natural, natural. The other thing that we talked about are complexes. And again, vitamin E in its natural form does not exist in isolation. If you want real vitamin E, if you want something that will actually perform in your body, you need the full complex. So you're looking for a form of vitamin E that has all 8 components, the 4 tocopherols, which are alpha, beta, gamma, and delta, and the 4 tocotrienols, also alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. Interestingly enough, the alpha tocopherol, now that researchers have had more chance to look at it, is at best, out of the 8, at best, number 7 in importance.
Oh, my.
So for all the years, people have been taking D-alpha as what they thought, or DL-alpha, the synthetic form of it. At best, they were missing the 6 more important components.
Oh, Lord.
And if you ask, was anyone packaging this correctly 15 years ago? Well, you can look at wheat germ oil. You can look at rice bran oil. Nature was packaging it that way. And depending on how you want to look at it, you can say it's, you know, the evolution of millions of years. That's what our bodies have adapted to. Or you can say it's the hand of God. But either way, our bodies are designed to take supplements in a natural form, or as close to natural as possible, and in as full complex as possible. All of the studies on beta-carotene were on a synthetic beta-carotene, which is made basically from methane gas.
Good Lord.
I'm sorry, not methane, acetylene gas.
Well, John, you see, one of the problems we have in our city, which was once a great city, we have one newspaper. We have one newspaper that when they start printing these stories about, you know, vitamin E, that's a bunch of crap, coffee is as good as water. You can drink as much coffee as you want, and then that will come replace your water. We got serious problems in this little town when it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, we actually have a problem all over the world. And let me leave you with a final thought, or leave all the listeners here, because this is the core of the issue. What you have is the press unquestioningly repeating what they're hearing from the medical community. But my observation here is, why would you listen to a medical doctor when it comes to health and nutrition? They don't study it. And when I say they don't study it, actually, for years, they for years they didn't study it at all. It either wasn't taught in medical school or it was one class, which was 1 hour a week for 6 to 8 weeks. If you read one good book on health and nutrition, you knew more than your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Now they study a little more, but it's still the basics, and they have no comprehension. Listening to a doctor about health and nutrition is like going to a plumber if your arteries are plugged. Because, well, geez, they're great at, you know, unplugging pipes, so they must know what to do if your arteries are clogged.
Yeah, of course.
That's the logic. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to a medical doctor, if you're listening to your personal physician about health and nutrition, the odds are, and again, doctors are great for certain things, but they have taken on an aura of expertise in areas that they don't know. And it is really dangerous and very harmful. So it's not newspapers. It's just people are relying on somebody who they think is an expert and isn't.
Well, I agree with you. I understand that part. It's just that today I got all riled up over doctors now in the Air Force are going to be taught acupuncture. Now, they're going to be taught acupuncture, and I don't know how many classes they're going to have. But, John, I've worked with many acupuncturists over the last 20-some years, and it takes quite a while to learn that science and art at the same time.
Yes, but the good news is these doctors will be able to perform acupuncture while basically doing death rolls in a plane at 5G, which most acupuncturists cannot.
Hey, well, you've got to get serious. Well, okay, look, there is also... John, that was good. We haven't touched on fats. We haven't touched on protein and organic foods. But let's touch a little bit. We only got 4 minutes left here, left at the most. But organic foods. Now, many of us eat organic foods. But what kind of problems might we have with organic foods? And, of course, Frankenfood. We've done a lot of stories on that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all right, let me give a quick thought here on organic food.
Right.
In general, organic is a better choice, in general, than non-organic. However, there's a whole range of what organic means. Actually, all it means is that theoretically, because how the definition is used changes according to how governments regulate it. But theoretically, it means no inorganic fertilizers or pesticides were used in the growing of food. The big thing that's not covered, and this is huge, is what is the nutrition level of the food. Just because there are no pesticides in it, that's a good thing. But it doesn't say anything about the nutrition level of the foods.
In other words,
how much organic fertilizer is put into the field. It can range anywhere from 1 ton per acre to 100 tons per acre.
There we have to stop. John, you got to come back. You got to come back, and my producer will get back in touch with you. This is a great book, friends. This is really important, and I can't wait to share it with some of our other, not just our guests, but, yeah, our other guests, not just our listeners. Thank you for joining us, John. Please hang on the line. Friends, when we come back, let's going to take a look at Obama's astrological chart and yours when we return with astrologer Sally Cragen.